and Femi Oke. Thanks for watching the stream. It has been 18 months since a conflict broke out in the northern part of Ethiopia. Now there is a truce in place and also a pause in the fighting between Ethiopian government troops, federal troops, and fighters in Tigray. Could this truce be the beginning of a real peace process? That is what we're asking today. That is what we're trying to unpack. We have an incredible audience of Ethiopians in Ethiopia, in the diaspora as well, on Twitter and right here on YouTube. Put your comments, your questions, your analysis. I would love to have it available to me to be part of today's show. Welcome back to all three of our guests helping us analyse what is happening in Ethiopia right now, particularly with the truce. Hello, Maza, Sedale, and also Tudros. Welcome back. Maza, will you remind our audience who you are, what you do?
Hi, Femi. Thank you for having me. My name is Maza. I am a human rights advocate and international relations researcher with Omna Tigray, an advocacy group leading the fight against Tigray genocide.
All right, nice to have you. Sedale, nice to see you again. Please remind our audience who you are, what you do.
Thanks a lot, Femi. Nice to see you too. My name is Sedale, and I am the founder of Addis Standard Magazine, but currently serving as the CEO of the mother company, Jackin Publishing PLC.
Good to have you. Tudros, welcome back to the stream. Remind our audience who you are.
Thank you for having me, Femi. My name is Tudros Terfe. I am the chairman of Amhara Association of America, an advocacy group based here in Charlotte, North Carolina, that advocates on behalf of the Amhara people in Ethiopia.
Thank you, all guests. I just want to go back to March, where the federal government said that there is now going to be a truce with fighters in Tigray to allow for humanitarian aid to get through. Is this grounds for optimism? Maza, will you start our conversation, please?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that, Femi. Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, absolutely. In March, we learned that the federal government said we're going to have a truce between the federal fighters and fighters in Tigray. Is this grounds for optimism? What have you seen so far? Are you optimistic that more will come, that there will be a peace process?
We heard there was a humanitarian truce declared, which was supposed to facilitate unrestricted and a consistent flow of humanitarian aid to the people in need. However, everything we have seen since then implies otherwise. Still, Tigray is under siege. The people do not have adequate access to humanitarian aid. Only less than 14% of what is needed has been delivered to Tigray, and that's primarily because the Ethiopian government and its allies continue to use starvation as a war tactic and are not willing to provide a humanitarian corridor to international aid workers. So there is not any optimism, and as a result of that, of course, the international community prematurely celebrated the declaration of humanitarian truce, but that hasn't translated into any meaningful action, and as a result, people in Tigray are dying of starvation and lack of medication, including my aunt, who just died 3 months ago of starvation, leaving 5 orphan children behind. So as much as we want to be optimistic, everything we have seen implies otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking here. I'm so sorry. Condolences for your aunt. I'm just looking here. Tigray External Affairs Office statement on the release of prisoners of war. Tudros, when you learned of this, your first thoughts, go ahead.
Thank you, Femi. First, my condolences to Maza on the death of her aunt. Anytime there's a release of Ethiopian soldiers and they can return to their families, that's good news, and that's something that I think all Ethiopians should celebrate. But I think it's really important, Femi, for your audience to understand what is happening right at this moment in Ethiopia. About 2 days ago, the Abiy administration admitted the arrest of nearly 5,000 Amharas across Addis Ababa and Amhara region. These are over 30 Amhara opposition political party members, over 11 journalists and media staffers, university professors, students, ex-officials, including current government employees who are critical of the Abiy administration, have been rounded up and arrested. The CPJ and other Western outlets have been reporting about this. Over 20 peaceful protesters, unfortunately, were gunned down by the Abiy security apparatus. This is extremely very saddening for many Amharas to deal with. Just a case in point, a young boy under the age of 4 and his mother were arrested to force his father to turn himself in just this week. This is an attempt by the Abiy administration to neutralize critical Amhara voices while his Oromo Prosperity Party negotiates with the TPLF. It is unfortunate that Ethiopia is in a place that it's in right now because of the war between the Abiy administration and the Tigray People's Liberation Front, unfortunately. There are little signs for hope at this moment for Amharas and really for most Ethiopians. That's why it's really critical for the international community to step in and put pressure on the Abiy administration to release these 5,000 civilians that have been rounded up. And this campaign is continuing right now as we speak.
Sadale, I'm just wondering, what kind of truce is this, where some people are being arrested, journalists and media people are being scooped up, but at the same time, some aid is getting through to a region that desperately needs it? How would you characterize what we understand about this truce?
Thank you, Femi. I'll be hard-pressed to call it a truce to begin with. Maza, please accept my condolences on the loss of your family member. Having said that, as I said, it's very difficult to call it a truce. To begin with, the government's framing of the truce is a unilateral humanitarian truce. This in itself is very problematic because humanitarian aid cannot be subjected to any negotiation of truce. It has to be under international humanitarian law. Humanitarian supplies must be free from any negotiation between warring parties. So when the government said that this is a unilateral humanitarian truce, a lot of things are vague. Secondly, even after the truce is declared, unilateral or not unilateral, the aid is not reaching as per requested by the UN. We need currently up to 115 trucks to roll into Tigray per day if we wanted to avoid a catastrophe of famine, a number of days. People are still dying, but if we are really trying to avoid millions from perishing out of famine. So there is no truce under these circumstances. Thirdly, there is another war, a war by other means against Tigray as we speak, which is that the siege is not only a trickling of humanitarian aid, but also Tigray is disconnected from telecommunication, banking, electricity, and all other services that the Tigray people need to receive. And this is as much devastating as the lack of humanitarian supplies there. People who are salaried, who could otherwise have accessed their money from the bank so they can buy whatever is available in the market, mm-hmm. are dying on the streets today as we speak. So there is a war by other means in Tigray. So what truce are we talking about under these circumstances? If we talk about a unilateral humanitarian truce, the government could have simply started by connecting Tigray, opening up the banking sector so people can access their money. Peasants can access their own money and save lives there. So it's very difficult to call it truce. And that's where the problem lies, in my understanding.
Tudros, you pick up, and then I'm going to slide in a little comment from Mnet, because Mnet talked about this truce in a way that he didn't really feel that it was very helpful. Tudros, you go first. I'll go second. Maza, you go third. Okay, here we go.
Okay, thank you, Femi. I think it's also important for the international community to be aware that, for the most part, there has not been any fighting, right, between the various belligerents. And this is something that that we have been calling for, the cessation of hostilities, because when there is fighting, it is innocent Ethiopians that suffer, innocent Ethiopians that die. The concern for us right now is, as Amharas, is that the TPLF is still occupying large swath of of areas within Amhara region in northern Gondar, of Adarkai and Talent, as well as in Wagamra area. And we're unaware if there's humanitarian aid reaching these areas. As an organization, we have always demanded and asked for unfettered humanitarian access into Tigray, into areas in Amhara region, and Afar that occupation of the TPLF.
Okay.
Well, our biggest concern, Femi, has been
the People's Liberation Front, because you probably hear that acronym a few times if you're watching this and you're not Ethiopian. Tudros, finish up, because I'm going to bring in Emmett.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The, Sure, thank you. The concern that we have is with these backdoor negotiations that are undergoing between the Abiled Prosperity Party and the Tigray People's Liberation Front. It is because Amaras and Afars are excluded from these negotiations, and this is our concern. If we want long-term negotiations and peace to come to Ethiopia, it is important that all stakeholders are at that table and communicating and talking so all the issues can be addressed.
Right.
What started the war, the cost of the war, and all the outstanding issues that are out there. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you feel excluded. All right, let me just bring in Emnet here. Emnet was just picking up on what Sedale was saying about this siege of people in Tigray, ordinary citizens in Tigray. It has to be more than aid getting through. It has to be opening up the blockade. Here's Emnet.
Of the so-called humanitarian truce, one has to think of the people's plea and not the political narratives. The deaths will continue to escalate, and patients are being discharged for lack of food and medical supply as we speak. Public infrastructure such as banking and telephone remain unthinkable. Let the people get what they deserve under the international humanitarian law, and including accountability and compensation. Otherwise, war seems to be inevitable in the coming weeks and months.
Maza, what would you like to add? Go ahead.
I want to highlight that the problematic actor in all of this is not only the Ethiopian government. It's also its local and regional allies. That includes vigilante groups from the Amhara region, as well as Eritrean forces that are still illegally occupying parts of Tigray, particularly on the western and northern parts of Tigray. And according to reports from the Human Rights Watch, as well as Amnesty International, people in the western part of Tigray, including Tsalemti and Walqait Humor, as well as other parts, continue to face a state-sponsored brutality, including ethnic cleansing, massacring, and raping. So if the international community truly wants to see a peaceful Ethiopia, they have to put enough pressure, not only on the state actors, but also non-state actors, in order to go back to the status ante, which includes leaving parts of Tigray that constitutionally and legally, as well as historically, belong to Tigray. And this includes forcing Eritrea to withdraw its forces, as well as Amhara militias and the vigilante group called FANU to withdraw from parts of Tigray, including Tsalemti and Walqait, because these are parts of Tigray that belong to the people of Tigray.
Of the work that you've done, and Tudros and Sedale, all of the work that you're doing, all that you know about this so-called, let me do air quotes, international community, why are you saying we need to do this and we need to do that? Because what have they done so far, Maza? Why would you give them that responsibility? Because I do not see that. Maybe I'm not behind the scenes, maybe I'm not in negotiations, but I'm not seeing a huge impact by this international community that everybody in this conversation is talking about. Sedale, will you pick up for me here? Because I'm not seeing that happening. There's even a Horn of Africa envoy, a former Nigerian president, who's helping with negotiations. But what's been done so far, 18 months into a conflict and a kind of truce? Sedale, thoughts?
That's absolutely a brilliant question, Femi. There is really, we have seen for 18 months the inability of the so-called international community to even issue a meaningful statement calling for cessation of hostilities. We have watched the UN Security Council fail 13 times to even issue one single statement calling for cessation of hostilities and ceasefire, which you would imagine is not really a hard thing to do. So there is that utter failure of the international community, diplomacy, and also some of the, you know, enforcing measures that you would otherwise think could prevent the descent into this kind of tragedy that Ethiopia finds itself. So that brings us to what can we do? I think the solution is in our own hands. We need to start talking. But for that to happen, I think the bigger part should be played by the government. And unfortunately, this is not a government who has peace in its interest. I think we do have a government that thrives in chaos, engineered tragedy. What's happening in Amhara Regional State today, for example, as Tefes said, is just an unimaginable level of crackdown that prevents any possibility of a peaceful resolution to this conflict, because we are not looking at the long-term impact of this kind of state crackdown that will have on the peace negotiation between Tigray and Amhara Regional State. So there's no really enough initiative to locally oversee the end of this conflict. The other failure that we are facing is our own failure, which is that we don't even have a meaningful civil society, religious institutions. They're all have been made to become a part of this conflict in one way or another. And this is the other tragedy that we are looking at. So at the end of the day, we really need to confront this reality that it is us for us or us against us. But this has to come with a drive from the government side, which is the main belligerent of this war.
Yeah, Tudros, go ahead. Maza, I hear you, but just let Tudros have some space here. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. And I do concur with both, Maza and Sadala here that the international community really has failed. But that doesn't mean that we cannot, that we have to allow them to remove themselves, because there is a role for the international community here. However,
what is that role?
There are a lot of things. So understand that this is a war. This is a civil war, and a civil war is very, very complex. And in order to end a civil war, there has to be sincere interest by the belligerents, and then the pressure can come from the outside forces. The thing is that at the end of the day, the peace rests in the hands of the Ethiopian people. And we can. It's going to be very, very difficult. But Ethiopia is a country that has existed for thousands of years. And we have these mechanisms in place that we can bring it to bear to put pressure on the leaders such as, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, the TPLF, and the other belligerents, and hopefully to bring peace to this country. In terms of the Oromo Liberation Army...
What's the definition of madness, doing the same thing, expecting the same thing over and over again, and expecting a different result? Let me share something here, not that I'm questioning your sanity, but it's just like you have been here before. Let me share something, because I want to go back to the reason why the federal government said that there was a truce. Have a look here on my laptop. Ethiopia declares unilateral truce to allow aid into Tigray. And we did reach out to the federal government spokesperson, the prime minister's spokesperson, and got nothing back. But I do want to share this quote here. This is the statement from the federal government. The government of Ethiopia hopes that this truce will substantially improve the humanitarian situation on the ground and pave the way for the resolution of the conflict in northern Ethiopia without further bloodshed. Let me bring Alyona in here, because that humanitarian corridor, how is it doing? Here's Alyona. We spoke to her earlier.
The ceasefire in Ethiopia is a hugely important development for us, because it enabled us to bring vitally important humanitarian assistance to people. We have sent four humanitarian convoys so far, preparing the fifth one, bringing food, bringing medicine, seeds, because we are entering a planting season now. We also send regular humanitarian flights. But of course, some very serious challenges remain. One of them is the sheer scale of the needs, because so many people have been affected on so many different levels. And then there's some very important logistical challenges, like some important items like fertilizer that are not easily available at the market.
I'm going to go to our own international community that we have on YouTube. And there's a question here which is really interesting. Maza, I'm going to put it to you, but all of our guests, I want you to answer these questions fairly quickly so we can talk to as many of our YouTube community as possible. Akil says, why is the international community not concerned about the Tigray genocide? Maza, swiftly.
The international community doesn't seem to worry about the Tigray genocide because they lack the necessary political will. But we continue to call up on them to take meaningful actions, because we have seen the kind of power they can mobilize to effectively save lives when it comes to Ukraine.
Akil asks here, why can't you just send peacekeepers in? Why are there no UN peacekeepers there? Sidale, is that practical?
Well, that is practical, but is it politically beneficial? That is not. Mm. After all, we really have to ask, what is Ethiopia for the rest of the world? What kind of place do we occupy to influence this kind of decision? And this is the hard question that we really need to. What are we to the rest of the world? And how much influence do we wield to force the international community to send peacekeepers? or even force the belligerents there to sit on the negotiation table, you know, bring them to, there is no mechanism to do that so far. Yeah. Is it the lack of the will, or is it like, what is our importance to them? We have to question this, we have to bring this to a question for me.
Tudros, there's a specific question. There's a specific question for you, if I may. So I'm going to push on very quickly, so we can talk to as many of our audience as possible. Asif wanted to ask you in particular about aid being blocked through the Amhara region. First, is that the case? And then, second, why?
Femi, as an organization, we have put out two statements previously demanding that there should be unfettered humanitarian access to all aid agencies. Into all parts of Ethiopia, whether it be Amhara, Tigray, Afar, and other parts of Ethiopia. When we know what it means when aid agencies are not getting into the people who need it. People die and people suffer. And so we have always asked for that. When the TPLF was inside the Amhara region and occupied it for nearly 6 months, they prohibited aid agencies from providing free food and medical services. And, you know, thousands of people perish. Mm. And there should be unfettered humanitarian access into Tigray as well, and also Afar. So it's very important that these belligerents be forced to allow unfettered humanitarian access. There's one thing very quickly I really would like to respond,
sure,
because
please.
This is something of a personal nature for me. I was myself born in Humara, the area that we call Wilkait area, that Maaza refers to as Western Tigray. This is an area that was forcefully annexed by the TPLF in the early 1990s. And since then, my family and many Amharas were subjected to ethnic cleansing, disappearances, and also repression, even to the point of being allowed to speak their language. So even in the context of this war, the TPLF massacred nearly 1,500 Amharas in my Kadra. The Joint United Nations Ethiopian Human Rights Commission confirmed this massacre by the TPLF against Amharas. Now, these massacres have been happening not just only in the context of this war, even outside of this context of this war in other parts of Ethiopia. And that's where we can ask the international community to put pressure on them to conduct independent investigation across all of Ethiopia, not just in the context of this war, so that the Ethiopians who have been the subject of human rights atrocities can receive justice, and all perpetrators can be held accountable. There are international mechanisms in place to hold
Tudros,
perpetrators of war crimes to be held accountable.
Tudros, I hear you. Maaza, I'm going to push on only because there have been so many atrocities committed by so many different parties, and we aren't even talking about what is happening in Oromo Land as well. So there is so much to talk about when we talk about conflict in Ethiopia. I hear that. So which means that even more importantly, that there needs to be a peace process so that everybody can talk about what happened and where accountability is. If we go back to this idea of a truce, earlier we spoke to Tekle, and this is what he shared with us.
No, the truce will not lead to peace. Why do I say that? Let me start by stating a fact. According to the latest report, only 14% of the aid that the UN said was needed in Tigray has entered Tigray. Not because of a shortage of aid or logistical problems, but because the regime didn't want to let in more aid than that. And that is because its policy on Tigray remains to starve the people into submission. So the promise during the declaration of the truce that there would be unfettered access was a perfidious ploy to deceive. Now, what must happen is for members in the international community to acknowledge that that is a policy and use whatever leverage they have on the regime to put paid to the starvation integrate and open the possibility for negotiation.
I just want to share with you a recent report from OCHA on Northern Ethiopia, humanitarian update. Whenever we talk about Ethiopia, politics are always there, front and centre. But we also have to remember how many people are suffering. 319 trucks of humanitarian cargo managed to enter Tigray between the 1st of April and 16th of May. 1,500 metric tons of food was brought into Tigray. More is needed. And then seeds and fertilizers to farmers in Tigray are also urgently needed. We mustn't forget the people down on the ground and how they are also suffering during this conflict. Thank you for your comments. Thank you, guests. I will see you next time. Take care.